My name is Joel Muggy, and really this is a public relations session. I might as well be honest about it. About the center where I work and the services that we offer, that may be something that many of you would like to participate in, or at least have some relationship to in the months and years ahead. I direct what's called the Center for Global Service and Education in Minneapolis, and it's affiliated with Augsburg College. And before I get very much into describing it, I want to say I want this simply to be a very informal session. I don't have a major presentation. I've got some information I want to share with you, and then let you ask just whatever questions that you'd like to ask about whatever dimension of the program that I've talked about. Before I start, I'm going to start passing around a packet of just a whole lot of materials from the center that you can look through and get an idea of sort of some of the things we do. There's not too much left, but I brought some extra materials to distribute, and I mentioned to some people if you'd not take more than one or two of those, that'd be helpful, then it can spread around. You can keep that. This, I'd prefer that you left everything in it. I'm also going to, inside, it'll be a sign-up list for people who would like to be on the mailing list of the Center for Global Service and Education. You might want to look through the materials first to decide if you want to be on the sign-up list. And don't feel in any way obligated to put your name on this, but we'd be more than glad to have you, and you'd be, among other things, receiving our bi-monthly newsletter. So I'll pass that around. You can look through it as we talk. Let me give you, and again, I emphasize, please ask questions at any point for any clarification. Let me give you just a very brief history of the Center for Global Service and Education. I've personally been involved in doing travel education work in Latin America for about 12 years, beginning in 1970 with high school students, doing that for a number of years, then developing a college interim program at Augsburg College, a January interim program in Mexico, and then finally a semester program in Cuernavaca, which was what began the evolution into the center that we have today. The Center for Global Service and Education began full operation really on June 1st of 1982, a little over a year ago, with the objective of promoting international awareness and peace and justice education, not only at Augsburg College, where we're located, but within the church at large as well, and in the community of Minneapolis. And in the upper Midwest, but also within the national church. Our program, and I'll go into a little more detail on this, includes seminars, workshops, conferences, but particularly travel experiences and study abroad opportunities that focus on global issues. The programs are all intended to challenge people with a global view of the world, that is to see the world in a global context that's opposed to an isolated, nationalistic kind of context, and to encourage people to critically examine such areas as U.S. foreign policy, development, international development, and the church's approach to mission. Now, when I say critically examine, I don't mean criticize, okay? I mean, those of you who've been in my session, I think, know what I mean by that. To be able to look and examine, to analyze these issues, and to be able to look critically, that is, what's good and what's bad about our present foreign policies, for example, foreign policies, or our approaches to mission. And in the center, I'll read from our brochure, or one of our information sheets. The ultimate objective of the Center for Global Service and Education is seen as equipping people to serve in building a more just, humane, and sustainable society. So it's a very broad description of our goal, obviously, but our focus is one in which we try to help people recognize the dimensions of the international situation in which we live, and to focus particularly on issues of international peace and justice. Now, how is it we go about that? What are the programs that we're involved in? Let me kind of tick them off one by one, and we'll spend a special amount of time on travel seminars and study programs abroad. We really began, and still much of the groundwork of our program, is an undergraduate semester program for college students that's based in Cuernavaca, Mexico. Cuernavaca is a city about an hour and a half from Mexico City in central Mexico. That runs from February through mid-May. Now, students in this program can come from any college or university, so that if you have students attending, sons or daughters or friends or whatever, attending any college or university, it's possible for them to participate in this semester program. Students receive a full semester's credit. The cost of the students is the same as if they were spending a regular semester at Augsburg College, which is not particularly cheap, but it's I think next year runs in the neighborhood of $3,500, something like that, for one term, room, board, and tuition. But that covers their whole experience, including a trip to Central America. They're based in Cuernavaca, but they also travel to Central America as part of that program. They are able to study Spanish, but the focus of the program is not primarily Spanish. Everybody studies Spanish, but they are more focusing on theological issues, culture and history of Latin America, and really trying to understand the nature of what it means to be concerned about justice in Latin America. What are some of the issues of the problems of poverty and injustice that people suffer? And in that experience, they go out into the community and they're talking with grassroots people. The whole world, really, the whole community is the classroom. It's a very experiential program.
Do they live in Mexican homes?
For a portion of the time, they live with Mexican families. I should also mention here, we have a center in Cuernavaca that we run. It's a large house, about 15-room house. We have about 24 beds that we operate as an educational center. And so the students, for part of the semester program, stay in this house in Cuernavaca. And part of the time, they're with families. And part of the time they're traveling to Central America and all sorts of things. So they do have a family stay. And one of the things that we place them in generally with, many programs place students in middle or upper middle class families in study abroad programs. We don't. We have generally rather poor families in which the students stay. And in that sense can really experience the life of the people in Mexico. Many of the families where they stay are, I don't know how many of you were at my session this week on base Christian communities, but many of the families are members of base Christian communities. So the students also have some exposure to what base Christian communities are about. A focus of the semester program is also the whole dimension of what community means. Because while they're staying at our house in Mexico, they do live as a community, sharing the tasks of a community, keeping the house clean, and doing the kind of ongoing jobs that are necessary when people live together. And the name of that program, that semester program, is called Program in Global Community. And it's really looking at what it means to build a world community, but recognizing that building a world community starts with being able to live with each other in some kind of harmony and peace in our relationships. So, again, our semester program is for undergraduate students in any college or university. We still have openings for next spring, for those of you who know people, and our registration deadline is October 15th. Now, there are a couple brochures on that particular program. There's one right in front of you. Why don't you hold that up there? Again, you can get more of those kinds of brochures by writing to me. Any questions about the semester program
that anyone has? Do the students have to have fluency in Spanish?
No, they don't. That's why I say it's not primarily a program for Spanish-speaking you know, it's not a program for Spanish majors per se, because what we expect is that they've had only the more they've had, the better, obviously. But all we require is one semester in Spanish, and then their first month is spent studying Spanish 5 hours a day, 5 days a week. Everybody does that.
Are there subgroups taught in Spanish?
What we do, we have the primary courses are not. We often have a number of mini courses that are taught in Spanish towards the end of the term, by the time that most of them have lived with the family, and usually they can struggle through it by then. And it's very good discipline to do that. It's quite surprising how much Spanish they do learn in that time. One of the things that's been so exciting for me to be involved in that semester program is that nowhere else have I seen students motivated to learn in the kind of way that I have in that program. By the end of the term, your schedule gets so busy because the students have said, well, we've got to do this, and we have to read this before we leave so we can understand this. And it's a very exciting learning experience. One of the problems is that one day when the college catches on, I may have more trouble, but is that students come back and get a little disenchanted with the regular college curriculum. And so anyway, that's our semester program. Any more questions about that? We can come back to questions about that as we go, too. But we take only 18 students a semester. So in a year where we get a lot of applicants, then we're selective. And we look more for the kind of commitment to issues and the commitment to the ideas that we're going to be dealing with than we do academic standing. Okay, I mean, it's more important that we see a sense of commitment in the students. Now, the semester program has been going for 5 years, and for a long time that's all we had, and we thought, well, this was nice. Well, things have sort of mushroomed for us since then. And a number of programs have emerged which now form the program for which the Center for Global Service and Education serves as an umbrella. I don't know if that makes sense for you, but what happened is a lot of programs began to develop, and we suddenly decided we've got to have some way to administer all this. And it really was for that reason that the Center for Global Service and Education was developed. In terms of Latin American study programs, the next thing I want to talk about is perhaps the one that you would be most interested in, and that's our series of travel seminars. So far, all of our travel seminars have been to Latin America. Now, our plan for the future is to expand that a bit, to do travel seminars perhaps, we hope eventually, to Africa, perhaps to Europe and Eastern Europe, focusing on disarmament issues, and also perhaps to India. And the Far East, but that's a little farther in the distance. That's for the future, we hope. But we will also be always, I think, be concentrating very heavily on study travel programs to Latin America. In the year and a half since we've begun, we've conducted 7 travel seminars for anything from a congregational group, which has been the case in 2 of our programs, to a district or synod-sponsored group, which has also been, 2 or 3 of our programs have been that, or a national church group, and we've done a couple of those. Now, these seminars are usually anywhere from 10 days to 2.5-3 weeks in length. Some of the brochures give you some examples of these seminars, and there's some of them in the packet that's going around. The purpose of these seminars is really, why don't somebody hand me a brochure and I'll read it, and then it says it perhaps most, you know, this one is it, won't work as well. Can I just take this one for a moment? The goal of all travel seminars sponsored by the Center for Global Service and Education is to expose participants to the reality of poverty and injustice in the third world, to examine the root causes of those conditions, and to reflect on the role of the church and the responsibility of Christians in working for social and political change. The style of the seminar is quite intense and includes encounters with people and organizations representing many sectors of the countries that are visited, as well as opportunities for the group to reflect together on their experience. So these are definitely not vacation trips. They are not, while they could be very, certainly many people take them as their vacation, it's not your typical trip, a typical vacation trip. The experiences are very intense. We'll often have three or four or up to five seminars a day that people participate in, a number of field trips and so forth. The kinds of people that you would be visiting with on these seminars include everything from poor people living in squatter settlements, labor union leaders, people working in all levels of the church, from sort of the grassroots up to bishops, meeting with people who are involved in the governments of the countries that we would be visiting, visiting farms and factories, and as many people as you can. The basic idea, however, is that to try to understand the situation from the perspective of the poor. However, our focus really, while it's to get an understanding of what's happening in Latin America and what's happening among the poor and among the church in Latin America, it's really also to help us see more clearly our own society and our own culture. When one comes to starts to come to grips with the realities of poverty and injustice and so forth, it also forces us to reflect on what is it... is there any relationship between the kind of lifestyle that we live and the kind of society we have in our country to the kinds of experiences that people have in Latin America? So it's really, many people come back from these experiences really thinking much differently about our own society as well as Latin American society. Many of our travel seminars, we have a variety of styles and places to go. Most of our seminars at least spend a little bit of time in Cuernavaca, where our center is. And most of our seminars in the past have gone at least to Nicaragua, because that's been such a point of critical interest and well, for our country and for the world right now. However, we've done other kind. We'd have seminars that only go to Mexico. And those are can be very good as well. Some of you may be aware that the bishops of the American Lutheran Church are about to participate in a travel seminar to Brazil and Central America. We're the ones who are coordinating that trip for the ALC bishops. And that particular trip will not go to Mexico, but will go Brazil, Panama, Nicaragua, and then into the other three countries, Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. The cost of our travel seminars, again, varies depending on the where a group is going. But a typical one, let's say a seminar that's 2 weeks in length, that will stop in either Mexico and Nicaragua and perhaps one other country in Central America, maybe 15 days, say a Monday to a Monday. All expenses from Minneapolis now, where we usually build some of our costs, right now is running in the neighborhood of $1,300. Now, that's a fairly reasonable cost for this kind of experience, if any of you have checked into that. But we're able to do that from a number of reasons, one of which is that we don't stay in Hilton hotels. We stay in much more basic accommodations, and our center in Cuernavaca is, I mean, it's comfortable enough, but it's more basic there. It's three or four people in a room. In other places, we stay in retreat centers where they have double rooms, but it's very basic accommodations. We try to have people eat the kinds of food that are eaten in the countries, but safely prepared. We're always very careful about that. So that not only do you hear about the issues, but you experience something of what the country is about. I don't want to give the impression that this is a really roughing it kind of experience, because you're perfectly comfortable, but it's also not a luxury vacation. You carry your own bags and you do things like that. We don't have porters and that sort of thing. Now, what else can I tell you about travel seminars? I know there are many things, so shoot with your questions on. I should say one of the things about how trips are organized. We have in the next about 12 months, about 10 travel seminars scheduled. Now, what we usually do is we seldom sponsor a travel seminar ourselves. But what we do is an organization will come to us and say, we'd like to do a seminar, and will you set it up for us? And if we can, we will. And that can be anything from a congregation, okay, to a district. For example, in November, the Iowa District of the American Lutheran Church, the Hunger Task Force for the Iowa District is sponsoring a trip, and they're selecting a representative from each conference of the American Lutheran Church, and inviting them to participate. I'm not sure if they're funding them partially or what they're doing. And they're recruiting the group for the seminar. We have the same thing happening with the Michigan and Ohio District of the American Lutheran Church. We have the same thing happening with the Minnesota Synod of the LCA. So that's one way it can be organized. Or that's the primary way, that an organization says we want to sponsor a trip, and they coordinate with us, and we develop the program for them and prepare a brochure and so forth, if you want it. Yes?
Is this a very directly Christian coordinated thing?
Yes. Explicitly? Is that what you're saying?
Explicitly, yeah. Christian, are the worship opportunities?
Right. That's a very important point. We are trying to be very clear in our publicity that what we're doing is approaching these experiences from the standpoint of the faith. That is, we always build in daily worship and reflection into our program. We usually, if a group is, an organization is working with us, we ask them to have some leader in addition to our staff person. And then that leader is the one who is most familiar with the group, and we ask them usually, with our assistance, to be sort of the worship coordinator, although that's a shared experience as well. Some of the most profound moments on these kinds of trips have been the worship experiences in the context of the experiences that people have had during the day. Some of you who have were at my seminar in Nicaragua, was that last night? I think so. And I talked about some of the things that I saw, or the things that in Nicaragua that I said were advantages. Those are the kinds of things you would see and visit. Factories, farms, Christian communities, and so forth. It can be an exhausting experience because it's as I said, it's very intense, and you shouldn't particularly expect to come back rested from such an experience.
Is there any possibility of working up a group of congressmen to go?
I'm ready.
I didn't mean to be funny. I know. Talking to our congressmen, right, to our peace group meeting, and I was thinking, you know, he says, yes, he's interested in going to Central America. And mm-hmm. then I thought, oh, man, what's he going to hear if he goes?
Right.
Because he is basically a conservative, Reaganite Republican. And he admits that, you know, you're going to see a whole different picture down there depending on what you do.
Right.
Is there any way that this could be described to appeal to Congress people who are avowed Christians?
I think so. We've tried this in a couple of instances. There are a couple other organizations who are working specifically in getting Congress people to Nicaragua at this moment. But we're very open to that. I think the best route to that is if we can do it through the church. That if your organization or your district is sponsoring it to really go after your congressperson, rather than setting up a trip for congresspeople. I'm not sure their public image will let them. I mean, it's too easy. They can too easily be accused of going on a junket, you know. Whereas I think this is precisely the kind of thing some of them might need. Yeah, I mean, your question's an important one, and we've been asking in a number of ways, is there ways we can get congresspeople? So far, we haven't had any on our trips. We've been seeing our task more maybe tackling the issue within the church and really opening the church up to Central American issues. Yes, sir?
Do you have any follow-up experience with the groups?
Well, this is just something that we're beginning to realize that we need to be doing a better job at. In some respects, this thing has mushroomed for us so quickly terms of the demand and the interest in this kind of thing, we're been caught with our pants down, so to speak. I mean, we're not as prepared as we'd like to be to do the kind of follow-up that's necessary. We've just written a grant for a half-time position to focus specifically on follow-up to our travel seminars, in which we hope what we'll be able to do, in addition to providing them ongoing materials, which we do try to do at this point, for example, if it's a group that comes back a month later, send a staff person out and spend a day, something they commit to before they go on the trip, spending a day with them, helping them process what's happened to them since they got back, how are they, what help do they need in trying to interpret their experience and so forth. So it's an area I think we've been weak on up until now, but we're very conscious. One of our priorities for this year is to do much more follow-up with groups.
I think there is a tendency, and I think what I hear you saying too is that but to go on something like this and to be very moved and impressed and changed and then to come home and have it not,
right,
have nothing happen with that.
That's right. And I think we've seen people for whom that has been just the case, and what's part of our concern. On the other hand, we've had one of our first trips is a trip by a hunger representative from each district of the ALC a year ago last January. Some of you may know people who participated on that. That group came back and has absolutely stirred up a storm in terms of the kinds of work they had done. And at one count, about 6 months after their trip, they collectively had made 145 media appearances based on their experience. So many people do get very active, but we want to promote that kind of continued response. Any other questions about travel seminars? Yes.
And now your place in Cuernavaca, does somebody stay there all the time?
We just hired a full-time staff person there, began June 1, and he coordinates the center and does a lot of the programming for the groups that come through Cuernavaca. Takes care of the house, the facility, and so forth. We also have two full-time women who cook and help take care of the house, but who we see very much as part of our program.
Are they Mexican?
Yes. The full-time staff person is not. He's a North American.
And also, do they fly into a place like Mexico City and
right.
you meet them
right.
with buses?
Sure. We have two Volkswagen vans that we, anyways, we sometimes rent another vehicle if we need it. I should mention, those of you who may be related at all to Partners in Mission, any of you here have some connection with Partners in Mission? One of our vans in Cuernavaca was a project of Partners in Mission. It was just completed this last month, finally. And one of the directors of Partners in Mission, or the partners, Paul Strege, participated in a seminar about a year ago. But they just completed that project, so we're very grateful to Partners in Mission for that. So we have two vehicles in Cuernavaca that we use. Now, when we're in other countries, we may rent a bus. It just depends on the particular situation. But Mexico City is a point that people fly into. I should also mention in travel seminars another option that we're working, that we've tried with our semester program, and we're going to open up now to travel seminar groups, is to make a stop in southern Texas, in the McAllen area. We have a good friend who's a pastor at a church in McAllen in Edinburgh, Texas, who is beginning to develop a sort of an educational program in that valley, the Rio Grande Valley, the county that McAllen is located in, and this was a real surprise to me, is the poorest per capita county in the United States. And the kinds of issues there are very, very critical. I mean, we see it's a prime area for entry of El Salvadoran refugees. It's an area, of course, where the United Farm Workers and the whole undocumented workers coming across the border is an issue. There's also very important issues related to U.S. factories on the Mexican side of the border called maquiladores, where they're only assembly plants in order to get cheap labor, and some of the issues related to working conditions and that sort of thing. So that's an option that we're going to offer to groups in the future if you want as part of your experience to either going or coming to stop in McAllen, Texas, in southern Texas. Other questions on travel seminars?
Are you always welcome in all these places you go?
Well,
any danger?
No, we won't take anybody any place where there's any danger. Now, you have to trust our judgment in that regard, and we hope our judgment is always good. But it's very interesting. The place where you would least expect us to be welcome, that is Nicaragua, we're probably the most welcome. And the place that recently where we felt the least welcome, well, actually, the space we feel the least welcome usually is in the U.S. embassies in the countries we visit. But in Honduras, which is a big ally of the United States, in our last trip to Honduras, I have a lecture on tape in the library about our trip to Honduras. And we got really kind of quite a bit of harassment from the government. Now, in no sense were we in any danger, but a lot of questioning, why are we here, what are you doing here, so forth and so on. But again, that's a very important part of the experience, to see that the democracy that we so are supporting in Honduras isn't such a democracy after all. Okay, let me just go on with a couple more things and we can come back and deal with any other questions you want. One other program that we're operating in Mexico that might be interesting to some of you, we're just finishing it up this week now in Cuernavaca, is a four-week Spanish seminar program. Usually our idea was to provide it as an option for continuing education for clergy and others, and it's turned out it's been more for others than that. It's a four-week program each in the summer in Cuernavaca, which is 5 hours of Spanish 5 days a week, and then in the evening other kinds of seminars focusing on Central American issues, theology, and so forth.
In Spanish?
No, the courses are in English, right. The Spanish is obviously in Spanish, but it takes people at whatever level they're at. If you've had some Spanish, it's an individualized program of instruction. We work with a language school in Cuernavaca. And that may be something that's of interest to some of you or to people that you know next summer.
What are the dates?
We don't have the dates for next summer yet. But approximately, like this, our first session ran the last week of July. The last week of June and the first 3 weeks of July. And then the second session was the last week of August and the first... No. You get the idea. July into August, or June and July, and July into August.
What's the cost?
The cost of that is $750 without transportation. $750 for a month there, per person. That's the Spanish instruction room for.
Does that include any trips into Nicaragua or Honduras?
That would not. No, that's purely for... people want to study there. Now sometimes we can, there's a trip going either before and after that somebody can plug into, but that would be extra cost. We hope to perhaps get the cost of that down slightly this next year, but we're not sure if we'll be able to do that. Let me just mention a couple of other things and then let you ask any questions you have. I should also mention that the center, especially now, for how many of you are in the Twin Cities area, are located there? Okay, well, I'll try not to spend too much time on this, but some of you may be interested in some of the things we do locally. We do a number of mini courses for people in the community, again, often for continuing education for clergy, but also for laity. 6 week seminars on a number of issues. We did one on liberation theology, we did one on nonviolent strategies for change, a number of these kinds of things. We also have a noon forum series that runs every Wednesday noon at Augsburg during the college year, focusing on number of global issues. We are open and have done a number of workshops and seminars around the country, again focusing on a number of issues, but they often related to hunger issues, to Central American issues, and so forth. We publish a newsletter that's in the packet called Global Perspectives. It comes out every 2 months, in which each issue we try to have at least one good lead article on a particular issue. This one happens to be on the arms race, and then a number of some informational stuff about the center. We run Spanish courses at Augsburg in the evening, and we also have a local resource library. And we do a lot of speaking both regionally and around the country when we're invited as well, on especially Central American issues right now. And as I said, we're hoping to do more and some travel seminars also in other parts of the world. But again, they would always have this same focus of looking at peace and justice issues in the context in which we travel. Now, what other kinds of questions do you have?
I just want to know about getting you to come to speak about peace and justice issues in Central America.
Call me up. And generally what we do, if it means travel, we ask for travel expenses, obviously. And so far we haven't set policy on honorariums. It would, obviously, whatever you can pay will go to the work of the center, obviously. That's something we can discuss with the organization, depending on if they have money, if they don't have any money, or whatever. But no, we're open to doing that kind of thing at anywhere, and for any length of time, really.
We live in Texas, Austin, and have a real concern about Central America. And last few years, they've developed through Wharton Seminary a Hispanic program, which you're probably aware of.
Right.
And that seems to be a growing reality in that community.
Right. I'm aware of that, yes. And I think, for example, sometimes we can also... We can also point to resources in your own community that we might be aware of. People who have participated on our trips, or a combination of someone from our staff and someone from your area if we want to do a more extended workshop or something like that. So we're very open to doing that. For example, we've been in discussions with someone in California about coming in jointly doing a workshop on internationalization of mission in somewhere in the California area. So. We're very open to those kinds of possibilities. You have someone in Texas, in fact, who just came back from a month in Salvador, Dan Long, who's in the district office.
Yes.
Other questions? I have no need to drag this out till 7 o'clock, but we'll be glad to answer any kind of question that you have. Again, a mailing list is going around, I believe, somewhere. If it doesn't get all the way around before we stop, we'll bring the mailing list back here, and those of you who want to sign up for it can. So far, our newsletter has been free. I will warn you, however, though, that if you sign up for the list, you're probably going to get a funding appeal in the next couple of months. I should say something about our funding. Our first year's funding was... we received a grant from a combined grant from several divisions of the American Lutheran Church. With the clear understanding from the church, this was going to be a one-time-only grant and that we would have to make our own way beyond that. Well, we're into the making our own way stage at this point. We've been fortunate in that because of the interest in travel seminars, we are able to make some money on the travel seminars themselves, which takes care of part of our overhead, but that won't keep us going, especially for the kind of demand that we're having for programs. So while we're exploring a number of funding options, one of the things that we've been encouraged to do is that many, especially people who have participated in our trips, but others as well, may find this an interesting and a good cause to donate some money. So we're never going to say that no, you can't get our newsletter if you don't give us a donation. But we may, hopefully, in a couple of months, we're working on a program now to encourage people, if they'd like, to become associates of the Center for Global Service and Education. And so we'd encourage you to consider that when it comes. Now you'll know a little bit more of what it is. Any other questions on either the travel seminars or the seminary programs? Happy to answer anything.
The Western colleges and universities in the church have similar...
No, they really, not that we're aware of. As far as we can tell, our the center is unique to the ALC colleges. And our semester program is also unique, period. There's no other program like it in Latin America. We know someone who did research in all study programs in Latin America. There's nothing quite the same. Now, we have participants in our program from many of the Western Lutheran colleges. PLU has had regular participants in our program. In fact, some of you may know Karen Schramm and Kathy Schramm, both daughters of the SRAMs here at Holman Village, both have participated in our program. Kirk Salveson, who's a cook in the kitchen now, is participating in our semester program. We have a couple applicants from California Lutheran College. So I should also mention it's an ecumenical program. It's not simply Lutherans. We have, in fact, a rather formal relationship with Notre Dame, in which they send us a number of students, usually anywhere from 2 to 4 students each year in our program. And we're in a consortium in Minneapolis that includes some Catholic colleges as well. So it's an ecumenical. The semester program is quite ecumenical. And neither is our travel seminar program limited to Lutheran groups. We're doing a group for the Methodist Conference of Minnesota in next winter. And so we have a number of those kinds of groups.